B-Pod Studios.
How much does it mean to you to win another Super Bowl title and on top of it to be the most valuable player?
Brady throws down the middle. Open Edelman. Edelman's wide open. Makes the catch at the field. Edelman makes the catch on the roof. Edelman wide open at the 40. Turns to the 35. A sudden step to the 30. Penguin right out of bounds. First down Patriots.
Congratulations to Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman from the home of the Pats. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, this is Dan Shaughnessy's hair. Dan Shaughnessy's hair.
Hi, my name is Dan Shaughnessy.
And I have one question. Do you know the fro?
My Afro.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It's raining in Fort Myers, according to Wallach, which means Dan Shaughnessy's hair is Crystal Gale style, way past his ass. Because when it gets wet, you know, it just falls. But then when the humidity strikes again, it goes, woo.
Oh, happy fro day.
It just pops indeed right out.
His big orange fro is setting the world on fire.
So Dan Shaughnessy yesterday has, you know, of course, he just arrived down there, and he wrote an article which had some stuff in it that I had never heard before. So the title of it is, "In Sunny Florida, the Red Sox are fresh out of topics." And he starts off the article by saying, this is probably going to be the most boring spring training that he's had to cover because everything is going really, really well. I mean, the fro would just be run all over the place in confusion. Like, what do I do?
He pulled out the old typewriter out of the fro.
He did. And he said he pines for the good times when there was like drama surrounding the Red Sox, and he started having some examples. He goes, I hadn't heard of all of these. I've heard of some of them, but not all of them. He goes, I long for the days of a petulant Clemens storming out of camp upon learning his contract had been renewed at a cheapo number in 1987. General Manager Lou Gorman's reaction to the Cy Young hissy fit was, quote, the sun will rise, the sun will set, and I'll have lunch. That was a few years after we had Jim Rice ripping flesh from the hand of a 60-something Sox PR veteran when the two fought over a parking spot in Winter Haven. Now, did you remember that story?
No. Okay. No, I do not remember that.
I had not heard of that.
That was like 1980-something.
And,
then
there's this. And who could ever forget when the Winter Haven police slapped a summons into the hand of Oil Can Boyd because of overdue tapes from the local video stores?
I do remember that.
The tardy titles were all pornos,
yep.
And the episode was dubbed, quote, the Cannes Film Festival.
Yep. That was a great, great story.
So hang on.
Yep.
First of all, everyone's had overdue videos before.
Yep.
I mean, back in the day when you used to rent like DVDs and things,
sure,
like that. I mean, everyone's about, and I had one that was like months overdue.
Yeah.
You know how overdue it has to be? Either, okay, if somebody comes and gives you a summons, either A, like you've had it for over a year, or B, they just wanted to embarrass you. And it sounds like that's what happened in this case. They show up and they say, hey, by the way, we're here for Oil Can Boyd. And they have to tell everyone once and for all, well, he's got several pornos that he hasn't returned.
Do you know how relieved he probably was when he read the summons and it was just for overdue pornos? He's like, what? Oh, the pornos.
Yeah. I remember them interviewing the Can back then. And as I remember, the excuse was, I'm a single man. I've been here in Florida alone for 6 weeks. I mean, come on.
Find that quote. I need to know more about this story.
I'll try.
That's the first
time. That's how I remember him answering.
And you're right. I mean, Oil Can Boyd. I mean, there's a million things.
The Can was great.
But that one was great. By the way, I worked at a video store when I was in high school. And all of the time, we would have people come up and rent these movies. Now, we had to, as a policy, open up the cover and check and make sure the right video is inside. And, I mean, it would happen at least once a week where someone would try to check out a movie like, oh, I don't know, Indecent Proposal, or you know, something like I don't know, some bad movie that had Jeff Speakman in it. And then when you opened it up, it would be like an X-rated movie. I'm sorry, sir. You know what? This unfortunately has the wrong movie in it. I'll go get Indecent Proposal for you. And they're like, God dang, they got me this time.
Were there kids? Were they youngsters?
No. It was just like regular guys who just didn't want to be embarrassed.
But you've already made your way into the porno section, which is the bravest of all the things.
And there were also guys that you knew, you would see them waiting in line. Like it would be me and it would be like a girl I was working with who at the other register. And you would see them purposely go to my line because it was a little less embarrassing than doing it to, you know, a young girl having to check out, you know, the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah, but you've already committed to the room, which was the big bravery. You had to be brave to enter the porno room.
Okay, so we didn't have a room. As a matter of fact, we didn't have, like, the hardcore stuff. We just had,
Best chest in the West.
Like, you know, it was, like Playboy videos and things like that. And some a little more that were a little rougher than that. But it wasn't, like, really. You didn't have the room with the drapes.
It wasn't pornography.
No, no, no.
Softcore pornography.
Right. It was, like, when I was a kid.
Then those guys are lame.
Well, they'd still do it.
I mean, was it Hard Ticket to Hawaii? They were afraid to pick it up?
No. Hard Ticket to Hawaii was a big rental because that was one that you could be kind of disguised as an action movie.
Yeah.
Because you didn't quite know what it was.
When Malibu Express was flying off the shelves.
Right. Any Sidars, but Guns. That was
out there. Guns was Eric Estrada.
Eric Estrada and Guns. You could get away with getting that one.
I rented
Picasso
Guns.
Trigger.
I rented Guns from Netflix like 10 years ago.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I was just like, I'm like, I wonder if this will spark some sentimental self-pleasure.
My wife, she used to work for TBS and TNT and all those Turner networks, and she would watch a bunch of movies and have to give them the rating in the corner of the screen and have to edit anything out of it. And I remember one time she said it was like one of the best months of her life. She got the Andy Sidaris collection.
Now, why would those be, with no nudity, what the hell do those films bring to the... Why would you possibly... play one of those films without nudity?
I have no idea. All I know is that one day I was at work and I got a phone call and I saw it was my wife. I go, hello? And all I hear is like a sound clip for the movie. Anchors away, Cody. And I was like, okay, well.
Yeah, that's when he had the threesome on the boat.
It was a houseboat.
Yeah, he lived on a houseboat and then these two ladies came in bikinis and they were like, let's just do it right now, Cody. Cody Abilene.
So he continues, he goes, where's Wade Boggs when we need him? Boggs once fell out of the family Jeep.
Yes.
And was run over by his own wife.
Yes.
After the two had dinner at Winter Haven Food Emporium.
Yep.
Boggs also claimed he willed himself invisible to escape from a parking lot knife fight. I do remember that. Then proudly announced, quote, I'm the white Irving Fryer. Barbara Walters came to Florida to interview Wade and Debbie Boggs in spring training in 1989. Now we debate the merits of Ryan Brazier versus Matt Barnes as potential closers. We await John Henry's victory lap. Quote, nobody thought we could do it. They said we were unlikable. At the owner's annual interview session on the first day of full squad workouts next week.
Unlikable like Calvin Coolidge.
He said, boring. All these Sox do is win. Their big splash of the offseason was re-signing Nathan Eovaldi and Steven Pierce. Swell, but it's not the Cannes Film Festival. And it's true. And he's talking about, you know, it's like first scheduled workout that all the questions are going to be, Alex, do you think you're the greatest manager of all time or should we wait another year? Mookie, is it too early to equate you to Willie Mays? How great was it winning the World Series? Can you talk about the quest to repeat? Do you think the Red Sox are going to be awesome or like totally awesome? He's right. Like, what are you going to ask this year that's somewhat controversial?
I know. He's just going to be like, his fro is just going to be so bored.
Mm-hmm.
My frizz factor at 10.
That's right. A lot of frizz while you're standing out there.
Just so bored, just picking at his fro.
Did you find any more about that oil can?
I was looking. I can't find anything. I do not have an article I can reference.
Mm. Well, I'm sure he was relieved.
Yes.
That they came and it was just for a couple porns.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yes.
Huh?
He was very relieved.
What do you thought he was talking about?
I thought he was just, you know, he was relaxed because of all those pornos. I thought that's where you were headed.
They don't really relax you. They can help you go to sleep. That's something that the young people will never understand, these millennials, is that if you were in a fraternity and there was a porno, how, you know, if there was a porno in your fraternity or if you lived with a bunch of guys, you know, it was fair, you know, you shared it. It was like a commune. You know, it was no one's property, but then you would always get some son of a bitch that would hide it and then would take it for their own. And that was back in the day when even if it was like the worst porno in the world, it still was gold.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if everyone in it was super ugly, you would still watch it and enjoy it. There was no subcategories. There was no picking through a million scenes. This was a time where you took what you had.
Because you worked so hard to find it.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't readily available. You had to go out and search for it.
Right. And no one, like, went out and bought them or rented them.
Right.
They just kind of appeared.
It's true. They were always, like, around.
Yeah.
That's true.
There'd be, like, one that's around.
Yeah.
It could be Ebony Bangers. It could be anything. And you know what? You appreciated what you had back then.
You remember the name of the first one you ever saw?
It was at a girl's house in elementary school, and it was... all I remember, the guy was singing that he had a golden banana.
There was a title?
It had to have been from the glory days of adult film because there was like musicals, like they were singing in it.
Oh,
now don't get now. Listen, the sex was hot and randy,
sure,
and showed you everything you needed to see,
right?
But there were scenes. The guy was in a tub singing.
Mm-hmm.
We walked to this girl's house, maybe 4 miles to see it.
Whoa.
I mean, that was the time.
Yeah.
I mean, these kids nowadays, they don't know.
It's true. They magically just appeared for
right,
some reason.
With their fast food hamburgers and video games. They don't know what it's like to walk 4 miles in the snow to see a porno. Or to pretend to be friends with someone because their dad had a majestic collection of Playboys sorted by year and month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine being friends with a guy? I still remember his name. For no other reason but to look at Playboys. And I'll tell you, the ones from the late 70s, early 80s, not great.
Really?
They didn't show a lot. Hmm. It took pressure from Gucci on it.
All of a sudden, Larry Flint just showed up.
I always looked at Hefner as a fraud.
Thank you, Larry Flint.
He does say that. All right, Joe Haggerty's going to join us. He's going to tell us what's going on with Pastrnak and so much more.
Dutcher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Dutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
As you could probably see, David Pastrnak was out on the ice this morning. David actually was undergoing a procedure on his left thumb. The repair was successful. David will be out of the lineup for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be reevaluated where we will likely have a more definitive timeline as to when he'll return to play. He was extremely upset, disappointed. He obviously feels like he let everybody down despite it being an accident, and I was apologetic in trying to explain that, you know, an accident happened, and I said the same thing to him like they do.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Joe Haggerty covers the Bruins for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Haggerty, hello.
What's up, Mr. Toucher?
It's good to talk to you. It's been a while. Hello.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Good. All right, so Pastrnak, the situation with thumb, he's going to be reevaluated in a couple weeks. I guess he fell coming out of a restaurant. What do you know? What do you see as the timeline?
I mean, look, I don't know any more than anybody else behind the circumstances of it because I wasn't there. Obviously, at a sponsorship dinner that time of night, you know, it sounds like they were all walking to an Uber or something like that. You know, who knows? It wasn't bad weather. It wasn't icy, rainy, whatever. You know, perhaps there was a few drinks involved. It wouldn't shock me if that were the case, but we'll never know that for sure. Only Pasta and his teammates that were there when it happened are going to know exactly what happened. But, you know, he's a good kid. He's always been a stand-up person and a hard worker and everything the Bruins want him to be. So I don't think you put a ton of it on him. Instead, you look at it and say, you know, the Bruins battled through all those injuries in the first half of the year. Battled through all that adversity. Finally, they were getting healthy, starting to see what kind of team they had. And then, you know, this happened. So it's one of those things where they have just not been able to catch a break this year. As far as timeline goes, it's awfully interesting that they say 2 weeks when we know how bad it's going to be when the trade deadline is in 2 weeks. And I think that is not a coincidence. I think that timing is related. And we're probably going to find out this is more like 4 weeks or maybe even a little bit more than that once the trade deadline goes by. And, you know, not only do you think it's going to be longer than 2 weeks, just given that it was a tendon injury in his thumb that needed surgery, but you also wonder how good he's going to be and if he's going to be at full power when he comes back, given how key, you know, a thumb can be to shooting, passing, just handling the puck, all that stuff. a hand injury can definitely affect you. So, you know, they're not only concerned about how long it's going to take him to get back, but how long it's going to take Pastrnak to be back to Pastrnak when he does come back.
Don Sweeney went to great lengths to say this won't change his strategy come the trade deadline, but you'd have to think it will just a little bit for all the reasons you just detailed. That would kind of put the pressure to add a forward, no?
Yeah, and they already had pressure to add a forward, so this just makes it more so. And you know, really they had the two spots that all year have given them trouble in the lineup that they've needed to fill, the third line center position and a second line right wing position, a guy that can score goals. They've needed both of those. They've kind of rotated players and tried different combinations to get both of those. So those are still both the needs. But I do think, as you allude to, Wallach, that top six right wing goal scorer kind of player, I think becomes even more important and paramount now. And you know, unfortunately for the Bruins, with Pastrnak hurt, them not having another natural right wing until you get down to David Backes. You know, you've got Solarik and you've got Heinen playing on the right side, but they're left shooters. You're talking about definitely them having a lot of pressure and having probably to pay a price and a high price to get what they need and to get that winger, just to make sure they have somebody to play with Krejci. If that's what they need, if they put Pastrnak back up with Bergeron and Marchand, or to make sure they have somebody that can come in and score some goals and inject some offense if it takes a little while for Pastrnak to get going. And, you know, Artemi Panarin obviously has been at the top of a lot of people's lists because it looks like he's going to get traded. Wayne Simmonds is a guy that would fit that bill. There are other lesser players, I think, that would, you know, fit in there. Tyler Toffoli is a younger guy that, you know, would potentially fit that bill as well. There are guys out there, and that's the good news, that they're going to be available. But the bad news is I think the Bruins are going to have to pay and pay a lot to get them.
All right. So I'm not a Tuukka hater. And a matter of fact, I think he gets way more crap than is fair. If you look at his numbers, I think that he doesn't deserve a lot of the criticism that he gets. However, what the hell happened last night with that first goal?
Well, all right, this is what happened. He took the shot in, and normally when a goalie gets a shot like that, they're trying to save it and, like, deflect it off into the corner and get it out of trouble. And I think he was trying that move where he was not only saving it, but just kind of pushing it off into the corner, letting his defenseman get a head start on getting to the puck. And you know, most of the time, with the way Tuukka Rask handles the puck, which is not very good, you want him doing that instead of trying to stop it, handle it, pass it off to his defenseman. That's probably the best method he has to get it away from danger and to get it into a place where the defenseman can handle it. But he just didn't get it into the corner, didn't know where it was. And then all of a sudden, when he moved, he just pushed it into the net. And it's a soft goal. He looks bad on it. You know, to his credit, though, he made a couple of big saves after that on the 5-on-3 that the Blackhawks had later in that period that really could have put the Bruins in a hole, kept it at 1-0, and allowed his team to get back in the game. And, you know, Tuukka Rask, I've obviously been critical of him at times, but he's been really, really good for a while now, ever since he came back from that leave of absence. And, I think at this point, you give him the benefit of the doubt a little when he gives up a bad goal like that. But you couldn't help but laugh at it a little bit just because it's one of those fluky goals that happens during the year. The one thing I will always say with Tuukka, though, is it's great that he's doing this in February. It's great that he did it in January and December. You really need to see the performances we're seeing now out of Tuukka Rask in April and May and June. And that's when really a lot of the people that doubt Tuukka Rask will be sold on him. He just needs to be able to make sure he's playing at the level he's at right now when it matters most in the playoffs.
Okay, all I know is that I follow a lot of you guys, the, you know, hockey writers and stuff on Twitter, and Ty Anderson had just got through this tirade about how people suck who criticize Tuukka Rask. And all I know is that you were standing right next to him, I believe, at the game. When that happened, did you just take a giant middle finger and push it against his forehead and laugh?
No, I was laughing at him. I didn't flip him the bird. But I was definitely laughing really loud and looking at him and pointing at him and just doing it in as big a mocking fashion as I could. Because we have fun with it. You know, he knows he's the Tuukka defender, and he knows that I'm the Tuukka criticizer. So we're polarizing forces that are forced to sit next to each other in the press box. But it's all good.
All right. So when you talk about they're going to have to bring in a big piece and they're going to have to give up a lot, who is untouchable on this team?
There's been mention of, like, McAvoy, and would you be willing to trade him now, given some of the injuries that he's had and given some of the time that he's missed and everything else. But, like, I think the last few games, last weekend, last night, I think you're starting to get the picture of what he is when he's feeling confident, when he's feeling healthy, when he's feeling like he's got his entire game working. He's back playing very physical hockey. I think he's completely over the concussion now. And he's also helping produce offense and you know, taking chances, not making the mental mistakes in the defensive zone he was making at times earlier in the year, not playing tentatively, all the stuff that you saw out of him that was so out of character for what we've seen out of him as a player. All of that's gone now. And, you know, you're starting to again see why he's the future number one defenseman of this team and why it could be sooner than later, given that Char is getting older. And, you know, you see on nights that he's having a hard time moving around, and there's nobody else in this team that's going to be able to play that way. Guys like Grzelcyk and Krug, you know, have limitations to their game because of their size. So I don't think you can move him. I wouldn't move Jake DeBrusk unless it was a real special player, unless it was a game-breaking kind of player that you were getting back, that you're going to be able to control for a while, a younger guy. But, you know, some of these other players, the younger players especially, the prospects, I wouldn't be afraid to move any of them. And if it was the right deal and you thought it was going to put you over the top and it was going to give you exactly what you needed, the tough thing, Fred, is that, you know, you're going to go out, you're going to make a trade. You're probably going to have to make two trades to really turn this team into what it needs to be to make a run in the playoffs. The problem is you're looking at a Toronto team that it took you everything you had in seven games to beat them in the first round last year, and they've added John Tavares and Jake Muzzin since then, who are two very good players that have really addressed needs for them. And Tampa Bay is awesome, and they've been awesome all year. And they dispatched you in five games last year, and you definitely have not improved from where you were last year. And they, you know, are at least as good and will probably get better. So it's going to be a real difficult road for them to get enough that's going to put them over the top against both of those teams and go through that road in the Atlantic Division. But, you know, I think they owe it to guys like Bergeron and Marchand and Krejci and Pastrnak and Chara and Rask to go out and get them some help to at least make a run, because their window is not getting any wider.
All right, do you think that they go and they try to get guys with some time remaining on their contracts?
Yeah, I think that would be the preference, to be able to do that. I just don't know how many of those guys are going to be out there and readily available. It may end up that they have to get a Wayne Simmons-type player, and maybe like last year, they worked something out like they were going to do with Rick Nash. And, you know, even though he's a rental, they were going to sign him and keep him. And that was why they were willing to give up the amount that they were willing to give up. It's, you know, just a matter of price and how much Simmons is going to be able to, you know, command and want at, you know, 30-ish years old, and a guy that's logged a lot of hard miles already in his career. So, you know, and we saw that with Nash, right? You know, they got him at the very end, and now he's retired. So, you know, they need to be careful about that, but I think those players, it might be easier to get one of those guys and then just work out a contract after the fact and have a wink-wink that you're going to stay, than to get one of the younger guys that you're going to have under your control for a while that's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
All right. Well, Joe Haggerty, it should be an interesting week and a half or whatever's left before the trade deadline. We appreciate the time. You can see him on NBC Sports Boston. Appreciate it.
2 weeks, Freddie T. Hey, happy Valentine's Day, my friend.
Expect a bouquet of roses from me. Don't worry about it.
Can't wait.
All right. Thank you so much. Hear that.
Listen. Watch. React in real time. Toucher and Richer on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Kicks out. Marcus Smart has it. We're down to 25 seconds to go. Smart drives past Ben Simmons. Oh! Attacks the paint. Throws it down hard with two hands. And a season of frustration for the Boston Celtics comes off the fingertips of Marcus Smart. Slammed home in Philadelphia to give Boston a four-point lead and 23.9 to go.
Oh, my. That's a two-diaper changer there. Marcus cuffs it, going in towards the rim. And the 76ers right now are stunned. Be devil, be wish, be damned.
98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Coming up at 8 o'clock is a bit that I enjoy. I'm not positive Rich has been here for it.
I don't think I have. As a matter of fact, I almost kind of feel bad because, like, I want to do my part to help the bit become successful. So usually I'll try to get some sort of production or maybe like an intro or something like that. But this is just one of those bits that you guys have done without me, and I'm kind of wanting to hear it the way it was intended. So I almost want to step. I didn't want to hear it, so I gave it to Mike to edit it up. Because I just because you guys liked it the way it was. I didn't want to mess with what was apparently perfection.
Oh yeah, it was perfection.
but this is one of those bits that immediately you're sniffing around going, what's that smell? Disaster.
it could be disaster. So if you can think of a bit that we have done in the past that was disastrous, you can give us a call, 617-779-0985.
Now, is that just purely to make us feel better? Because we could say, well, we've done worse. No, I'm not saying this is going to be bad. As I said, I haven't heard it.
It's not going to be one of the worst bits we've ever done.
No, because I'll tell you what, one that many people were saying was the worst thing in the history of the show happened about 2 months ago, and it ended up being one of the hardest I've ever laughed. And that was when Nick and Bird were supposed to, you were supposed to do like famous characters, impressions, and we had to guess who it was.
That's right.
And Nick didn't even like have time to come up with a name.
Oh, that was that bit. Whoever said that was a bad bit. I mean,
the listeners.
How many listeners?
A lot. I wasn't here for that, but when I came back the next day and you guys played it.
Speaking only for myself, I thought it was fantastic.
Dude, it was the best. And I heard it, and it was phenomenal. Because you weren't supposed to like use what, like a line that they usually use?
Yeah. And then Nick didn't even try. Like, he didn't even have anything ready.
Oh, Nick. you failed again. You never used to do your homework. Nick, if you're nervous about something, just don't do it.
And like Bird was like Richard Nixon, and like he said, "I am not a crook." Right? Like, not supposed to use a line that they use.
Right. Well, I don't think he was Nixon. I think that's a little bit beyond his, you know, realm of being able to think about it.
It was playoffs. It was Jim Mora. That's right.
Yeah.
So he did the most famous Jim Mora quote.
Right. So that and now I understand that, you know, to make us feel better about what might be airing at 8:00. It could be great. It could be a disaster. It's got potential to go either way. But I know what you're saying, like by people reminding us how bad things have been, maybe it'll make us feel better about what might be coming at 8:00.
No, I just think that it's interesting to hear what people think were crappy bits. Because sometimes, like, Know Your Fro.
Oh, do you know the Fro was a great bit? And it was universally hated at the time. Right. I loved now, Dan Shaughnessy's Know Your Fro.
Yeah, it's like Paul's Boutique. People didn't start appreciating it until years later.
Right.
I mean, Stoner's Mini Rates the Snacks was a disaster.
Yeah, that was bad. Another
What's
one,
Tappening was terrible.
What's Tappening is one of those that we mentioned it a little while back, and I played a clip from it, and it legitimately made me laugh. And maybe time does that when you step away from it. That was when Catherine Tappan was injected into 1980s television shows.
No, just it was she was in What's Happening.
No, it wasn't just What's Happening. She was on Cheers. She was on Different Strokes.
Oh, okay.
She did commercials for Bologna.
And now, a brief word from our sponsors.
My baloney has a...
All right, turn it off. All right. No, that was not good. That was a bad bit. 617-779.
That actually made me laugh.
0985. All right.
You understand. Like, a lot of these just come from when we're sitting around after the show is done, and our brains are fried, and we just can't think of it. So something utterly ridiculous will come out. And you know what? Sometimes it works. Sometimes you get a Getty Brewski where you have them do that. Sometimes it fails miserably, like Stoner Smitty Rates the Snacks.
Yeah, because sometimes we have a comment on Nick. Nick, go ahead.
Rich just stole my thunder. This is before Johnny Wallach, but Stoner Smitty Rates the Snacks was my call-in.
Yeah, that was
that was not good at all.
No, that was terrible. That's not even. I think that audio has been burned.
And then there was some that it took a little bit of time to step away from, and you're like, okay, well, that's kind of funny. Like, what to me, what's happening? And then there was ones that only Fred and I like, and that I don't care. I don't care if anybody else doesn't like it, but like Different Strokes 8-Ball, I'm in.
One that people have started to appreciate as time goes by. That's one.
But man, that was hated at the time we did that.
Absolutely. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, touch her? Why, certainly. First off, the worst one you guys have ever done is definitely the Bird Box.
Bird Box?
Bird Box was all right.
Bird Box was good.
No, it wasn't. But what I will say is I haven't laughed so hard when Fred was telling the story yesterday about getting stuck in the snowbank. I'll tell you, man, that's why you guys are the best. I was dying laughing. Keep up the good work.
All right. All right. Well,
thank you.
That was just a true story.
Just spinning a yarn.
That's right.
We have a magic, some sort of magic. Oh, don't tell me you found this. Because I honestly had no idea we still had it. We have the intro for Stoney's Mitter Rates the Snacks.
Oh.
Oof. What's going on, everybody? Everybody, Stoney Smitty. Rating the snacks. Snacks. You know, we've been on hooks. So. Rating the snacks with you.
That was entirely Rich.
Damn.
I'm throwing Rich under the bus on that one.
Oh, I'll take the blame on that one.
I had nothing to do with that one.
That was awful. That was really bad. He just ate snacks and then reviewed them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed it.
I think the correlation between snacks and marijuana is a little bit overblown, but yeah.
Not to Smitty, it wasn't. He enjoyed just sitting around eating free food for a while.
Well, yeah, he did, but he also was high constantly. So getting him high, we didn't get him high. But him being high and rating snacks was not, you know, he's so used to being high. It was like nothing to him.
He was like, this is a pretty good cracker.
Yeah.
Kind of liking these ho-hos.
But he was just sounded like that all the time. He was probably high every minute he was here. Pat, go ahead.
How's it going? Not a least favorite, but my favorite bit you guys ever did was the Kevin James one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Kevin Can Wait game was excellent. It's just because Fred was so good at it. He could easily predict the plot of Kevin Can Wait. Yeah, I mean, that's an all right bit. That was pretty good.
Yeah. That was, unfortunately, that show is long gone.
No.
And man, here's how bad that Kevin James show is. Is that the Man With a Plan, the vehicle for Joey from Friends, is too good to do that bit with. Like, you know, you have to be such a disastrous show.
Right. Even my kids laughed at the Man With a Plan trailer for the wrong reasons. They're like, the commercials are in the Super Bowl. Like, whoa, that's not funny.
No. The only thing that's funny is Matt LeBlanc has allowed himself to go gray, which you have to respect.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rich, yesterday was the Players Only broadcast over there at the Celtics game over there on TNT.
Yep.
I don't really understand why that is a concept that is thought of to be any good at all.
All I know is that people like John Wallach are just sitting there laughing.
Atrocious.
Going, you need me.
You do?
You need me on those sidelines.
Damn
you need
right
me
you
there.
Do. Yeah, because, you know, the kind of the point is that you have a professional broadcaster.
Who, like, heightens the awareness, the tension of the game, you know, an inflection in his voice. I mean, that the Sixers-Celtics game went right down to the last 30 seconds, and Kevin McHale and Greg Anthony were, like, having a conversation over dinner. I mean, it was atrocious.
Well, they were
bad.
Also wrong about a lot of stuff.
Yes, but I mean, it's just, they didn't care. They were just there to, it was like three guys sitting in the front row watching a game.
Yeah,
it was
like
awful broadcast.
Three
last
multimillionaires
night.
That yeah. could care less.
Well, I remember back in the day, Kevin, I respect the hell out of you. You're a Hall of Famer. I used to watch you play, but there's a great game happening in front of you.
Well, right. I mean, it could work if you had a Charles Barkley.
Yes,
there, or
but
somebody,
they did. They took the three most vanilla guys possible. I mean, Jim Jackson, who I don't think has ever done a game, has he? I mean, Greg Anthony, Jim Jackson, and Kevin McHale.
Who the hell was Jim Jackson?
Jimmy Jackson used to be a star at Ohio State, was in the NBA
for a while. Oh, yeah, yeah, Jimmy Jackson yes. at Ohio State. Yes, indeed.
Somebody's saying, what was the bit with the dolphin on the treadmill? That was funny.
Yeah, that was just him running on a treadmill until he fell.
That was the dolphin every time he misspelled a word. The treadmill went up, and then
that never ceases to make me laugh. When you the audio of him falling down on the treadmill.
Well, that's one of the hardest I've ever heard Fred laugh in my life.
Yeah, I don't remember this, but Eric, go ahead.
Hey guys, hey.
Hey.
Hey, there was a one-time bit you guys did quite a while back. It was What in the Dickens line.
Oh, yeah, the What in the Dickens line.
There.
Yeah.
There's sports-related takes.
We were ripping on the Weiner line. So we did the What in the Dickens line. Oh, my God. The What in the Dickens line was great. Oh, hang on. I have something called Dickens-intro. Let's see if it's it.
Hey, you, knucklehead. You got something to say?
Yeah.
Well, say it here. It's the Toucher and Rich What in the Dickens line.
What in the Dickens?
Call 617-789-Ohio and yip your yapper.
All right, wait. Play when you go into that really high voice again.
The one for the What the Dickens line?
Yeah, but you do something very funny there. Hang on.
Hey, you, knucklehead. You got something to say?
Yeah.
Well, say it here. It's the Toucher and Rich What in the Dickens line.
What in the Dickens?
Call 617-788-7800
and yip your yapper.
That's right. That's what we were making fun of the water line that they used to have across the street.
It was like one of the friends, like the first 3 months I joined you guys.
The water line was the worst thing I'd ever heard in my life. I remember when we flipped this format, and I'm like, dude, like EEI sucks. Like I can't do stuff like the water line. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. And they're like, no, you don't have to do that. And so I just remember hearing it when we were switching over, going, this might be the worst thing I've ever heard. So that's how we kind of came up with the What the Dickens line. And people would call in. They would just go, hey, man, what in the Dickens?
Yeah, what in the Dickens is up with Manny Ramirez?
Why, what in the Dickens? And then it would go on to the next call.
All right. Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, so the most underrated bit with the greatest intro was, what does Fred think the female celebrity smells like?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
That ran out of steam quick. That was one that was, the first one was okay, and then the rest sucked.
What was the one that we did one time? It was a ripoff of the phone scams.
Oh, where you said, like.
Your phone jacked.
When you said, is that when you. No, when you did what's-his-face prankster?
Oh, no, Frankie Prankster was... That was something I did where it was the worst prank caller of all time.
Hello, yes. Hello. Is your refrigerator running? Mm-hmm. You've been Frankie Prankerootied! It was the worst.
I thought it was funny. Andy, go ahead.
As long as you guys are always talking about old bits, I will always call in and lobby for Date Me or Dump Me.
Date me or dump me. We can't do it anymore. We're not allowed to do like hidden mic stuff. But date me or dump me was fantastic. Now, Wog, do you know what date me or dump me
was?
No,
I've heard a lot about this. I never heard it.
So Adolfo would go into a restaurant or a public place and he would ask out the girl. And she would invariably say no.
Right.
And then he would ask, use the bathroom. He'd say he had to take a crap. Use the bathroom.
That was the entire skit. She said no. He has to use the bathroom because he had to go real bad.
I see. He'd go, I'm nervous asking you out. And turn it up upset my stomach. Would you have a bathroom where I can go take a dump?
That's, of course, Marconi award-winning stuff. I think that was the year we won the Marconi, I think.
I have a tweet here, the Fatchler. Is that something that reminds you of anything?
I feel like there's a mushroom cloud in my pants right now.
I think that was from Dave or Dumpy.
Okay.
Fred came up with that name.
Dave or Dumpy.
Oh, we have an intro?
Oh, God. Let me hear.
Is this the Date Me or Dump Me intro?
All right. Probably.
Let's. Oh, this is for The Fatchler, which I completely forgot about.
I forgot about The Fatchler.
Okay. I'll see if I can pop it in. Just, you guys can just go ahead and play it. So The Fatchler was where he went out on dates with a bunch of different girls, I think.
Probably.
It all began a month ago when word spread that our very own Adolfo Gonzalez was getting stood up by the girls he so sought after. So the Toucher and Rich Show put together a contest called The Fatchler. A contest that would bring in...
I don't even want to hear that. It's just like so long. Okay. I thought it was going to be something different.
Do we have the theme to Date Me or Dump Me?
You know what? Was there a theme?
Oh, there had to be a theme.
I'll have to take a look.
All right. Well, needless to say, young Nicholas was out yesterday. And you know what? A lot of people were concerned about the snow.
Sure.
And it certainly did fall. Mm-hmm. And there was, it's, you know, you got to play locally. You got to play the hits. This is something that happened yesterday. And we will play that for you in just a matter of moments.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.